Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Creative Contact. I'm your host, Key Orion. Thank you so much for tuning in. You could be anywhere in the world, but you're here with me in my parents' house. And I appreciate that. So today's episode is going to be, again, one of those quick and dirty episodes because I'm running out of daylight. I'm running out of time. I got a bunch of things to do, but I wanted to pop here in front of the camera. One, I had some content I wanted to shoot even though I was at home. And two, I wanted to just give you all a little bit of an update. And myself, my future self, a little bit of an update on what's been going on lately, where I've been, what I've been up to. So the last podcast, I think I was talking to you guys from Chiang Mai, and I was about to go to Bangkok, and that was a pretty rad adventure. But it was a whirlwind adventure. I got in Bangkok, and then I had a buddy I wanted to see. A couple things happened, a couple small stories I wanted to just share with you all before, you know, letting you go. But there were just a couple key, like, lessons, life takeaways that I got from that whole Bangkok adventure. And then the flight home was kind of nuts, and some stories I want to talk to you about there. So this episode is not going to be a crazy, like I'm dropping the biggest gems on you episode. This is going to be one where we talk about some of the stories that transpired over the last 6-7 days. So I think the best place to start this is chronologically, just taking it from the top. And that was arriving in Bangkok. The last time I was in Bangkok, I was 27. I was 27, and it was 5 years ago in May. It was the first time I'd ever really been abroad outside of New Zealand, but it was the first time I'd ever done any nomad stuff. And it's crazy, just the idea I've been thinking about is, and now going back, how the city has changed, of course, a little bit, but that I've changed, obviously, a ton since then. And how now that I've changed, it's almost like, because my perspective is different, like the city's different. I also apologize for how squeaky this chair is, but this is the only one that we have that's not my dad's home office. So you live and you learn, you got to work with what you got. But I guess the point being, like, before I remember what I felt like to be in Bangkok before having any of this nomad experience, and now being back. And it was just like, I was just so unfazed by it. It's an amazing city. I was having a blast. I love Bangkok. Or at least over the last week, I grew to really enjoy it. But I remember the last time I had this little hostel. I didn't really wander too far from it because I was just kind of scared. There was this whole wide world out there. I didn't really know what to expect. And now coming back, it was just cool. I felt confident. I also felt a little sad, I think I'm going to be honest, because that there's a magic, I think, that you have, right? Ignorance is bliss, I think, in a lot of ways. There's like this, when you're kind of naive to it, it feels like it all has this sense of wonder. Everything kind of sparkles because it's new. Now I'm doing it for 5 years. I think sometimes, like, I can be a little templed out. Like, some of the stuff, like, it just doesn't punch the same way. And so I'm kind of looking for that right now in my life is, where can I, you know, I'll talk about that a little bit, but like chapters, where can I go push myself that is in a way that I feel maybe a little bit scared or nervous, excited, and all those things. And we'll get to that in a second. But needless to say, it was the first part of the trip was rad. I wanted it to be a photo trip. So I was like, I'm going to go visit my buddy who lives out there. Shout out Dave. But I brought my camera and I was like, I know I'm a workaholic. So I want to post up and have a bunch of things I want to do work-wise. I was like, Kia, get out there, for the city, take some photos. So it was rad. The photos, because it was rainy season, were okay. They weren't great. I still feel weird because I can make better photos now using AI prompts than just my actual in-person photos. But it helped me really kind of, you know, push myself to get out there a little bit. And so that was cool because I took some rad photos at night and then some during the day. But I think the best part about photography for myself, at least, is it's the kick in the butt to go adventure and to go see things. And so part of that was, I was like, okay, let me take this time to just go see the city, experience it in a new way. And so I did that. I went on a bike tour. Just, you know, and it was like mostly Dutch people that I was like on this bike tour with, but it was cool. I was talking to the host and learning about Bangkok. But one of the things that I had on the agenda for myself was I wanted to go back to the first hostel that I was ever in. And so I should link that up in this video. I'll see if maybe I can pull it off, or I'll maybe put up some like of that initial video from the first one.
I'm in the rooftop of the hostel. It's called the Birdcage, and it's because it's totally enclosed, as you can see. Boom, check that out. Totally enclosed. Welcome to Bangkok. And so, this is my first week. It's not done yet. There's only maybe been a couple days, but I wasn't sure if I'd have another chance to do an update.
I remembered what it was called, but when I Googled it, the hostel wasn't there anymore. I think the hostel was still there, but it was under a different name. And so I ended up finding it somehow. I think it was through a Google review. Someone had mentioned it from like years ago with the other name. And I was like, I'm just going to show up and just go pitch them. I was like, I'm going to show up in the front lobby and say, hey, I'm trying to build this YouTube thing. I was here 5 years ago. I'd love to shoot some footage on your rooftop. And so I catch a grab bike. We zoom through the city. And this is the first part of this adventure that I thought was interesting. Before I was about like that sense of wonder that I'd kind of lost, I felt it again. But it wasn't seeing any of the temples or the moles or the water. It was actually when I was on the back of a grab bike and we were cruising through like one of the main veins of the city. Huge, it's like this like 8-lane highway thing and you're like cruising through and you just see the city like built up kind of in front of you. But because of the way that it works in Asia, just the way that the cities feel is different. I seriously felt like I was in like Blade Runner 2049. The way the city kind of rose up and it has sort of that like haze that you know, the smoggy haze a little bit and still a little bit of sunshine, but everything's still kind of lit up through like artificial light, and you're cruising through, you're on the back of this bike, so the, you know, you're outside of a car, so everything's kind of just, the whole world is kind of exposed to you. And I felt that again. I was like, oh wow, like this is that energy in the city. It just feels like possibility. It feels like there's like anything could happen. And that excitement of city energy, especially a city as big as Bangkok, where it just kind of goes. It's not as built up as New York, but it just goes. It's like Mexico City, where it's just, for as far as you can see, the city just kind of expands out. That's kind of a beautiful thing, maybe because I'm just a city. I like cities, but that to me, there's that sense. I was like, Kia, hold on to this for a moment, because it's really, there's special. And those don't happen very often when you're just like really taken with the location. And I just thought it was an interesting kind of paradox how on my tour, the bike tour, to go see all these things that are supposed to be really pretty and beautiful, and it never struck me the same. It never kind of hit me in the heart the same way. It's just kind of seeing the city on the back of a little motorcycle. But I digress. So I was cruising back to this old part of the city that I've been, and I was like, I'll make a trip of it. I was like, I want to go see this thing. There's also a photo gallery over there and supposedly the best Masaman curry in the city, little mom and pop shop. So I was like, I'll go kill three birds with one stone. So I get out there. It's amazing. I swear to God, you drop me at certain points in Bangkok with a blindfold and I could just smell it and tell you what the barrio is, like what the neighborhood is, because it just, the smell like it did 5 years ago, the exact same, actually probably a little better, but there's every city has a distinct smell. I'm home right now, actually, with my folks, and even up here has like smells. Every city, every place has a distinct smell, and that's what I love about them. And so I'm walking down the street, headed towards my old hostel, and there's a guy that there's a white dude who I see like out of the corner of my eye, who's kind of like, he's walking towards me. And my radar, like my spidey sense, like goes on a little bit. I'm like, okay, what's up? He's tatted head to toe. He has a broken arm. He has kind of this walk, this certain sort of a gait, and he's carrying like a bag of snacks, it looks like. Or just like a bag of, I couldn't tell, but it looked like potato chips and things of that nature. But he walks into the same kind of small alley that I'm about to go down. I was like, okay, interesting. But I didn't want to follow him too closely, so I let him kind of go in. He went into one of the little hotels that was off the side street. And then I kind of followed down that side street and went and found my hostel. The one from 5 years ago had different name, different branding, the whole thing. But I looked in the window and the whole layout is still the same. And I was like, I'll pop in and I'll pitch the front office person. But I walk in and the front office person's gone. There's only just like some dude sleeping on the couch. And so I was like, well, maybe that's a sign. I was like, I'll just take it. So I was like, okay, I'll just walk up to the rooftop and shoot my shit and then bounce. Walk up to the rooftop and guess who's on the rooftop? But this dude, this kind of like crazy tatted dude. And so he's up there. He's talking to the camera like he's filming a vlog or something. And he's an interesting character. As soon as he sees me, he like locks on to me. He's like, hey, what's up, bro? And he also has like this mouth full of gold teeth. And he did not stop talking to me probably the whole time that we were up there. And so I'm up there and then he immediately like latches onto me. And I'm like, hey, I'm just here. I wanted to shoot on the rooftop. He starts telling me, he's like, oh, I'm live streaming. And So I'm going to see if I can splice this footage in, because I'm up there. I'm like, I want to shoot like a little vlog, and I'm also taking photos while I'm up there on the rooftop, also trying to like entertain him like you were him. But he was just such a character, one of those guys that you're like, you just try your best to make your way through the conversation was like a sane person, while in your mind you're like, is this actually happening? So again, it's crazy, kind of tatted dude. And he's eating the bag that I saw him on the street. It was like a bag of snacks and drinks. And so the first time thing he starts talking to me about is the, like, how much he loves 7-Eleven snacks. And so he's like ripping open these 7-Eleven packages of like peanuts and cookies and crackers. He'll rip it open. He'll throw the wrapper on the floor, or he'll toss it out the top of the building. He'll eat like a couple bites of whatever it is. So he's like talking to me, eating these like chocolate cookies. He's like, mouth is full of, you know, it has gold teeth and chocolate and stuff. And he's like eating it, and then he'll just throw it off the roof too. He'll like eat some of it and then just like throw it off the roof. But I'm sitting a little ways away from him. So he eats his chocolate cookie and like throws it, and it like hits the roof, bounces off, and then like lands on my shoulder. Like his like crumbs like fall on me. I'm like, oh no, dude, this is cool. And it's just like one of those weird things where like, is this actually happening? But it turns out he was like from, and those guys, you never know how much to believe or not, but he was like in prison. He landed in Bangkok, and something happened to his passport. So he's about to go back to Germany and go back to prison. Hopefully I can splice this footage in somewhere so that you see what I'm talking about.
Everything's manufactured here. Crazy. So this is the first hostel ever stayed at. So we were in Bangkok. Probably remember.
Dirty, welcome to Bangkok, motherfucker. I'm about to witness something really special today.
It's crazy. Doing the Bangkok thing. I remember this back in the day, this was
Bangkok 2.
I think this was like a different, I think this had like a different name. It was like Siblings Hostel or something. So anyways, kind of crazy. I'm going to show this to you guys.
But it was one of those things where like, I just need to take my photos, like take my little footage and like get the hell out of here. His name was Dirty. Of course. So me and Dirty kick it. We have like some like deep philosophical discussions on like the meaning of home. And I shoot my footage. I like pay my respects to this hostel that I was there for 5 years ago, and then bounce. And I go eat some amazing Masaman curry. So there was like this little family shop. It was cool. And then had my little adventures and continued on. But it was really fascinating for me to be back in the very first hostel, back in the same city, just to be, to occupy the same place and to feel like the actual place had changed simply because I had, was, I think, so that was just a like kind of a powerful reframe for me. So that was interesting. And then I ended up meeting up with my buddy Dave, and then working, had a couple of days just kind of working, trying to put things together before flying home. And then the flights home, there was just a couple of small stories I wanted to tell you. The first one was, when I was there, I wanted to go to the gym, because there was a gym not too far from the hotel. And so I tried to pop over there one morning, and it was like maybe 7:30. And so I pop over there, and the security guard is there. It's a 24-hour fitness. And the security guard's like, dude, he doesn't say anything. He just showed me the hour. He's like, no. He's like, it opens at 8. But it's 24-hour fitness. He's like, but he writes to me, he's like, the staff don't show up till 8. And I was like, well, I'm here. You're here. I was like, could I pay you? I was like, I have money. I was like, I'm ready to pay. He's like, no. He showed me points to the cameras. He's like, no, to the cameras. I was like, okay. And so, but the point being that I wanted to make here with you is that like, the idea of, I guess, asking why not? And so I was like, okay, so the staff will be here soon at 8, maybe 45 minutes. I'm like, but you're here. I'm here. I got good money to pay. But I was like, I just wrote to him in the transcript. I was like, what other options are there? Right. It's almost like, I think he wanted to just like point at the hours, and it's like, it's 8. It's supposed to be closed. And I go, oh, it's 8. It's supposed to be closed. And I walk home. But again, I was like, what other options we got? And so he laughed, and we just kind of like had this like awkward text thing back and forth through Google Translate. And then he wrote me, he's like, okay. He's like, you can play for an hour, but you got to be out by 9:30 because that's when the people come. I was like, I got you. Don't sweat it. And it was just one of those things that I thought was fascinating. It was like, it happened, I don't know how many times. I was going to say so many, but that's probably not true. A few of like, oh, I'll get into the tirade a little later, but like how rules are only as malleable as the people who enforce them. And that I just think that's a fascinating concept. How much we take rules for face value rather than just like saying why not or pushing back against them or just leaning into them a little bit more and seeing maybe there's more here than meets the eye, you know? So another one of these was actually when I was leaving, I didn't realize about it, overstayed my visa because I'd budgeted for 60 days, thinking of it as 2 months, every month is 30 days and forgetting that like some months have 31 days. So I had booked my flight out on the 23rd because I'd arrived on the 23rd, but because July is 31 days, my visa was up on the 22nd. So it's not until I'm in the immigration line and I'm leaving and the guy, he like looks at my passport, he doesn't speak much English, he looks at me and he's like, and he like waves over his like superior dude, like his like commander in chief. This dude who looks super serious, like crazy buzz cut, had the stars and everything on the jacket, and he comes over and he like looks at the thing and he looks at me, he's like, come with me. And so I follow the like serious looking dude. I'm like, oh man, now I've done it. He sits me down at this little table and he's like, so you overstayed. And he's like, he like goes through the paperwork. He's like, you overstayed. And he's like, there's a fine for that. I'm like, dude, I'm sorry. You know, I didn't even realize it, making some bullshit excuse. And he's like, but he's like, this is how much the fee is. This is the fine. And he's like, but he sees my passport. He's like, I'm letting you off for free today. And I was like, what's up, Thailand? Like, thank you so much. And I think that that's like, there's so much of, there were so many points again like this where I felt like, not sure if it's karma or what, but like the universe kind of looking out for me. So I get that W, I'm feeling pretty rad. I'm like, cool, hop on that Bangkok flight. I go to fly to Doha. In an airplane, by the way, that has two stories. I'd never been in an airplane with two floors before. I was like, how am I on the second floor? The steward's like, yep, you're going to go around the back and go up to the second floor. I was like, excuse me? So I was like, I'm rolling with it. They had art pieces and stuff. I'd never flown like, I think it's Qatar. I never know. Qatar Airways, I think it is. I was like, this is amazing. The ladies wear those little hats. I was like, this is gangster. So end up flying that flight. It's like 7 hours. I don't even remember it because I was just like sleeping and chilling. So make it, boom, to Doha. And you know, your boy's trying to stay active. So I was like, I need to get my 10,000 steps. I was like, I'm gonna put my stuff here at the gate. I was already at my gate like an hour and a half early. I was like, no, probably 2.5 hours early. It's like, let me just go walk around and I'll be back. So I go do my laps, bum, bum, bum. I come back. All my stuff is gone. I was like, okay. Somebody could steal it, but that seems like a lot of work. To steal luggage in an airport, to me, just feels like a bad use of time and space. Like if you're flying carry-on only, then chances are you probably already have the luggage capacity. It'd be weird to show up with like a backpack and a carry-on and then another backpack and another carry. It'd be like, so that doesn't make sense. I also feel like it just feels like a lot of work and a lot of effort that you're already in the airport. Then to fly, it feels weird. And it's not like you're going to go back to security. So I just feel like an airport employee could steal it. But to me, theft in airports just feel, I'd be curious the statistics. I feel like it's probably, to me, it just feels like a lot of effort to try to go through security, end up in an airport with all your luggage going somewhere, and then try to steal somebody totally, someone, a whole nother person's separate luggage. Just to me, feels like it's just so not worth it. So I was like, that probably did not happen. I'm sure security took it because they thought it was abandoned. And so I go over to this like security table where there's like a bunch of people in line, like accosting these like people helping out. I'm like, hey, I think security took it. And they're like, they probably did. So like, okay, they're like, okay, they call people. But I only had like 45 minutes now before my plane boarded. And because the US is the US, before flying back, they had an extra layer. You had to go through security again in the airport just at that gate to go to fly back to New York. So it was going to take extra time. And so I was trying to like think to myself, I was like, I have my passport on me and my tickets and my credit cards and my money. I was like, if it comes down to it, I'm like, do I take the flight and like leave all my clothes and camera gear and shit and then have them mail it to me and like pay that fee? Or do I like try to stay here for another night and try to find the bags and stuff? And I was like, tough decision. Fortunately, to come to that, I was able to get my stuff and get out of the plane and bounce. But I was able to get it all in time. But it's like, I probably would be, I'm so tired of traveling right now. I'm ready to just like get out of here. And just like, screw it. I was like, call it when I'm mulligan. I got my passport. I'm good. But that flight was a doozy. That feels like a psychedelic experience. It was 14 hours. After a while, you feel like you're like, was I born on the plane? Like, you just feel like you've been flying forever. Like, it's just, you're in, all the windows are closed. Like, everybody seems to sleep. I'm like, how's everybody asleep? I can sleep so I can nap, but everybody seems to just like zonk out. And I'm like the only one there like watching movies or reading. I'm like, am I alone here? But it was an adventure, but we made it. I sat next to two really sweet girls that just climbed Mount Kilimanjaro. So that was like super inspiring. I watched a shitty movie and then just like listened to podcasts and tried to sleep as much as I could, but ended up touching on JFK, cruised through. And then I took a selfie for my mom. And my mom, when she came to visit me, she'll do these crazy flights because I have the best mom in the world. She'll do these crazy flights and she'll send me this emoji. It's like she's like pretending to be a zombie. It's just, she's just like this little claw and like a selfie with the claw. Like if you look at the zombie emoji, it's like this zombie claw thing. And so I was like, I thought I was going to be cute. And so I'm in the JFK, like I go through security and I'm in the baggage claim area. I get on their Wi-Fi and like send her this zombie with the claw selfie. And then the security guard like immediately comes up and he's like, sir, he's like, did you take a photo here? And I was like, yeah. I was like, I was taking a selfie. He was like, you're going to need to delete that. I was like, dude, it was for, he's like, you're going to need to delete that. He's like, show him. And I was like, dude, it's for my mom. And I like showed him my phone doing the fucking, I was like, so me and my mom have this. And I tell him the whole, and he's like, dude, he's like, I don't care. He's like, delete it. And I was like, this is why I don't fuck with the States, man. Like the only time I get into like the Thai dude, he's like, you broke the rules, but I'm letting you off for free with a fine. I come into the States and they're like, it's just insane. Like our obsession with security here and like our rules and imposing it in power. It's like the most unwelcome I always feel is flying back into JFK. Like I swear to God, every time I come back, I feel like I'm so welcome everywhere except in my own city. And so it's just funny. Like it was just an interesting kind of thing. Like the only trouble, the guys who took my baggage in Doha, when they brought it back, like this is a guy who had to drive a little cart like across the airport terminal, wherever they keep the baggage. He came, he was like, oh, dude, you like to box? I have my boxing gloves. I was like, yeah. He's like, oh, did you just see the recent, and we started talking UFC and MMA. He's like, oh man, I love boxing. And I was like, oh man, I'm sorry I left my stuff here. He's like, dude, don't sweat it. He's like, we're just taking care of stuff. But he's like, and we started talking about like MMA and Muay Thai and stuff. And it was just so interesting to me, like that difference in attitude, and maybe it was just a one-off, who knows? But I just think a fascinating kind of feel when you have experience traveling, how every place does feel kind of uniquely different and distinct, and how the most uncomfortable I always feel is like flying back into JFK, like into my own place for some reason. But it's cool to be home. Glad to be back with my folks for a bit. It's definitely weird. It's always kind of strange coming home now that I'm in my early 30s. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm back with my parents again. But so it goes. Right now, kind of preparing for, there's this documentary I really want to shoot on my, about my parents, like my dad, how they met out in Arkansas. And so I'm hoping to kind of put that together. We're preparing for my brother's wedding. And it's cool. It's just like at this kind of weird in-between stage where I've been able to kind of like figure out what I want my life to look like. But I'm just realizing how many like chess moves I am behind from what I want it to be. And so I guess where I am now, like I was going through my phone, I keep this, it's not like a line a day thing, but it's like a journal thing you can write in and it'll tell you like 9 months ago, 1 year ago, whatever. It was like almost exactly a year ago that I decided to give up music. And so now I'm at that part of my journal where it's like 1 year ago today, and in my journals, I'm like, I feel like music is my calling, but maybe I should try something else. And maybe I got to let this go. You know, this kind of like weird questioning thing when I was in Medellin. And it's cool to kind of see that now after a year, the skills through the trying the YouTube channel for a year and, you know, learning photography and learning how to write and how much I left last year in about a month from now is when I left my adventure a year ago. I like left as an aspiring filmmaker and I feel like came back a writer where I still make, you know, end up making films and photos and visuals and stuff, but I just really fell in love with writing, I think, over the year. And when I think about this ideal life, I think I have some sort of business where I've got a course and I'm working on it. Maybe it's teaching creative writing, I don't really know, but I think that could be really cool. I also think something I've talked about before, but I think a cool business that I could potentially build up over time is like this content matrix, like helping other people build out their content. Like, it's a content, you know, how to like kind of batch content, because that's something I'm really passionate about and good at, is like organizing content and putting in kind of like pillars and silos and building on it. And so creating some sort of like a system that I built for myself that I could then sell to other people. But the ideal life, I think right now, is like the biggest holes in my life, right? Community relationship. So I'm like, I need to find some place post up. So right now I'm headed to Spain to go link up with some folks, my buddies Ronnie and Dee, going to see if maybe we could work together on something. And then bounce over to Portugal and try to work out some sort of D7 or digital nomad visa and see if maybe I could find some sort of a permanent residency over those next 5 years in Portugal. Hopefully lock in, maybe meet somebody, put myself out there a little bit more, and really double down on this writing. I have enough right now, I think, for a collection of short stories. I just sent off a couple to get edited by this editor I took an online writing class with earlier this year. And that's really what I love to do, or at least right now. I like to make content and things of that nature, but like the writing, like if I imagine that kind of ideal life, it's like got a shorty, got a nice little life somewhere by the coast, maybe Portugal, hopefully Portugal, maybe somewhere else. But I'm spending a lot of time writing, and maybe have a kiddo someday. But like that to me, it feels very tangible. But again, I'm like quite a few steps behind there. It's achievable. But I guess I'm working on building that patience muscle of like, I want to be there now and trying to be like, yeah, chill, like continue the writing, try, you know, keep building out content, work with your homies, figure out, you know, get a vibe for the EU. It's the first time in a long time. It's crazy. I was thinking about this morning, I was going a long walk. It's the first time in a long time I've been scared about going someplace new, which is weird because Europe is like, it still feels very Western. It's like very nice. It's very safe. But it's the place that I feel the least financially secure because it's expensive. And that to me, I found is like my biggest stressor is like lack of finances. And so also myself thinking about like how I'd love to take this next chapter and really invest into the skills just so I can earn more. So I'm not so stressed out about it, but that like, so I'm like, oh man, what if I don't have enough to do this and do that? And it's like, yeah, chill out. It's Europe. You're going to be fine. But I was just interested in kind of thinking about that. Like I, you know, Rio, Medellin, Mexico City, like these places don't scare me. And I think part of it is just because I know how they work. And like also the price point, I feel like I just know how to maneuver and how to figure things out. And I just know how things operate. Compared to like going to like the safest places, and I'm like, oh man, I don't really know about this. But it's really the stress, I think, from finances more than anything, is that doing the internal work and the self work to like be okay spending money on things that in my mind have like a certain amount that they're supposed to be. Like in Bangkok, the price is great in Bangkok. Some things are a little bit more expensive, of course, but it's just easy to maneuver because it's not like, I don't think twice, like I tip every driver, I tip every meal. I can like, I just feel like I can just like spend money very freely because it's, it just feels like it's worth what the value I'm getting compared to, I know in Europe, I'm going to be like, wait, how much is that? You know, I'm like, it's the most I'll probably have ever spent on rent before. And so I'm trying to just kind of gear myself up for that and get ready for it. And again, it's the unknown. This is kind of my ultimate nomad chapter that I've been planning on for a long time. And a part of me still kind of wants to run from it in a ways. I want to like go test that. I'm like, maybe we'll end up back in Medellin or something. I'm like, yeah, like go do it, man. Like I've been trying to go to Europe for a long time. There's a lot over there that inspires me. And so I'm excited, nervous. I'm a little stressed. The mystery of it all, but so I'm really looking forward to seeing how things play out and seeing how far I can take the writing. And maybe this next little business I spin up and I'm able to double down on can, you know, hopefully get things rocking and rolling. So I'm excited for that. Next month will be cool. Hanging out with the fam, eating good food, boxing, working out in the basement, shooting content, and spending some quality time out in the middle of nowhere. That's it, y'all. Thank you so much for tuning in. As always, I appreciate y'all. I'm going to be pretty busy just doubling down, so you may not hear from me for a while. But while I'm out here, I'm just going to try to get as much as possible and then shoot this doc. And I'm really stoked to keep you guys posted on how that adventure goes. So hold that thought. Thanks for the opportunity, as always, and I'll check in the next one. Peace.